Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city.
Hello, everyone. God bless you. This is Susan Puzio. And this is the prophetic news radio broadcast coming to you live over the internet on Blog Talk Radio. And we want to thank Blog Talk Radio today for this great opportunity. And we want to let you know that our program today is called Gangsta Preachers. And
Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Four square, the gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. Welcome to the prophetic news radio broadcast on the Prophecy Zone Radio Network. And we are going to have a wonderful program for you today. Our topic is the Book of Malachi and tithing. And we're having a special guest, Sister Soldier, Robin Hare. So stay tuned for that. We'll be getting to our program in a few minutes. I just want to let you know that we have a website, propheticnews.com. Also, we broadcast every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio. And we also broadcast on Mondays at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Prophecy Zone Radio Network. We also have a YouTube channel, and that's Jonah, T for Tom 48, and you can go there and see some of our videos on some very timely subjects that we feel are very important to the church today. And so there was a few things in the news that I wanted to bring up. Something that I find very interesting is the increase in crime and how so many people around the country are having their air conditioning systems ripped right from, if you have one outside especially, because they contain copper. Copper thieves are actually stealing from, 7 churches were hit just over the weekend in Texas, and you go outside and you don't have an air conditioning unit anymore. It is really a sign of the times, isn't it? Also, they were taking the railroad tracks. Wow. Now, that's pretty amazing. Imagine that you're on a train and it's barreling down a track and someone has ripped off a section of track to sell it for the metal. Well, it is really alarming. I remember years ago, back in the early 1990s, I took a trip over to South Africa to do some ministry. And while I was there, they advised me not to ride in a car along the highways by myself. It was too dangerous. And the crime was so bad there that most people had bars on their windows, bars on their doors, but that didn't keep the thieves out. One friend that I met there, someone had actually cut a hole in their roof and that's how they got into the house, and they were robbed, and her husband was shot. But I remember seeing some of the squatters' camps there, where people had actually walked in from other parts of Africa, and if there was a free vacant land, they would just squat on it. And it was really amazing how many hundreds of people were living in this squatters camp. But it made me think of how the crime had increased there so rapidly, and how we were going to see here an increase in crime. And don't we see it? Who would ever think that people would start robbing your air conditioning system to get the copper? It's just outrageous. But we know that we are in the end times, and Jesus said that people would wax worse and worse, and we are seeing the end of time, aren't we? We're seeing wars and weather like we've never seen it before. So we just want to be ready for when Jesus Christ comes. And we do these programs because we believe that we're a voice crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. And we know that there are many voices out there today. And there, God does have some wonderful people, and I thank God for the internet, because we've been able to have a voice where maybe we wouldn't have a place to discuss the things that we do discuss. Take, for instance, the subject of tithing. If you wouldn't be able to get on, I guarantee you would not be able to air a program on the topic of tithing and the book of Malachi the way that it is going to be taught on this program, because we believe that the Bible teaches that tithing in the Old Testament was never money, it was food, and that the book of Malachi is an interesting book. It's one of the most misquoted books in the Word of God, and I'm surprised myself that there are so many Bible teachers on television, famous ones such as Kenneth Copeland, Creflo Dollar, Fred Price, Joyce Meyer, and I've never heard one of these teachers teach the truth about tithing. They just make stuff up, and it's kind of a fairy tale on the subject. But anyway, I'm going to bring my guest on, and we're going to talk about the subject of tithing in the book of Malachi. Hello, Robin.
Hello, Sister Susan. How are you?
Good. It's good to hear your voice.
How
are you?
Welcome. I'm doing well. Thank you.
Yes.
I'm doing well. I'm ready.
Yes.
Ready
well, I was just telling my audience how I hear so many of the so-called famous Bible teachers on television and radio teaching on the subject of tithing, but I've never heard one of them teach it correctly. So it is a subject that people need to be taught the truth about, so that they don't have to be in such bondage over finances. But I wanted to get a little bit of your background, if you wouldn't mind. Where did you come from? What church did you come from specifically during your experience, I would say, as a Christian?
My husband and I were members of Crenshaw Christian Center, where Fred Price is the pastor.
Wow.
Yes. So we have a lot of experience with tithing and the myths about tithing. And we saw a lot while we were there. And I'll just give you a little history about how we exited from tithing, from the church and from tithing. I was sitting in the congregation one day, and I looked up at the pulpit, and I just said, God, something is wrong here. Why is all the money in the pulpit? That just those simple words.
Yes.
And I started crying out for the truth because I said, something is wrong. This man stands up and he says, I have 400 Tommy Bahama shirts.
Yeah.
Tommy Bahama shirts are at least $100 a piece. If you get them on sale.
Oh.
And I'm like, okay. And I said, well, if this is the truth, why isn't it working for anyone else?
Yeah. Yeah, that was one of my questions way back when, too. Because I remember doing a survey one time, and I was asking people, okay, this was back in the probably 1995, but I said to the congregation, "What could you please tell me, with all this seed sowing and tithing, I want to know how many of you are actually out of debt?"
Yes.
I didn't get too many hands that went up. But.
Oh, no. And actually, my husband, he stayed a little while longer because I didn't pressure him. We had actually, what happened there was a pastor that had come in, an on-site pastor, and he was from Ohio, he decided he was going to start a New York ministry. So we jumped out of the frying pan into the fire. We went over there to help him establish his ministry. So that's where God really showed me this is not scriptural. And we had visited when we were on our way. It's a long story, and I know we need to get to the crux of why it's unscriptural under the new covenant. But I just wanted to give you a little background.
To let people know where you came from. That you were actually a believer in tithing at one time.
Yes. 1 year. The last year that we gave $26,000.
Wow.
The last year we were there. And oh, yeah. They sent us, they send you the letter, the tax-exempt letter or whatever, how much you gave, actually. And after that, we had visited, a friend of ours invited us to a Messianic Jewish congregation. And God used that leader to speak to me, and the bulb went off. He said, Malachi, he wasn't teaching on tithing or anything. He just said the book of Malachi was speaking to the corrupt priesthood.
Yeah.
And the bulb went off.
Yeah.
I said, okay, I have to go and do. I did an in-depth study of the book of Malachi, and I was liberated. Of course. When we went to the pastor to speak to him, you don't question them, basically.
No.
And because I told my husband, and my husband wanted him to have an answer. He believed in him. He wanted him to have an answer. So we had a meeting, and I said, I asked a question. And, I said, has anyone ever taught on the entire book of Malachi?
Yeah.
And not
I haven't heard anybody except
people
like you and me and the other people out there.
And his wife, who was very vocal, who was very quiet, she said no. I'm sorry, yes. She said I taught on the book of Malachi. She's never taught it, of course, while we were there. So when I asked him to justify tithing, he couldn't. He couldn't justify it. He started to go to, he opened his Bible. I told him, we don't need that because I already knew what I was going to say. He said, he's going to go to Abraham. I said, no, Abraham was blessed. Melchizedek blessed him before he gave him a tithe.
Right.
And it was not of his own possessions.
Right.
So you don't give a tithe to get blessed.
That's right.
And the key that can liberate you, you have to ask yourself, was the redemptive work of Christ enough?
Enough. Hallelujah. Amen. That's right.
Was it
That's
enough?
That's right.
That's the crucial question.
Yes.
And to give a little, what happens with, I think, a lot of believers, we just take what they say and these scriptures, and they will quote the scripture properly, but they won't give you what goes before it or after. And that's our job, to search.
Yes.
We have to be like Bereans and daily search these scriptures to make sure that what they're saying is true.
That's right. That's right. So, I never heard, I always heard the, you know, the famous Malachi 3 scripture, will a man bribe God? I'm paraphrasing there because
yes.
they say, will a man rob God? But I say, will a man bribe God? Will a man bribe God? But because I have someone in the chat room now that's saying we're wrong. But I'm just telling the person that's in the chat room, you have your Bible, and we are going to give you some scripture. So
yes.
if you'll follow along, you'll learn something. Because both of us that are here today talking on the subject, I was a tither for 15 years. I've been saved 31.
Yeah,
and I never. I mean, God blessed me in some ways, but I it never solved all my financial problems. And it was interesting that you were talking about Fred Price, but the time that you were there, and of course he's bragging about the 400 Tommy Bahama shirts,
yeah.
and the rest of the congregation, for the most part, is just stupefied. They're not thinking, wow, like, we're giving our money and this guy is buying 400 Tommy Bahama shirts.
I kid you not. That's exact. Those are his words. His words verbatim. What I want to do, I want to get to the book of Malachi, and we need to go to do some history of tithing, because tithing didn't start in Malachi.
All right.
It didn't begin there. And the first thing that we want to preface is, and for the person in the chat room, tithing was never money.
Right.
If you can show us scripture that supports that, we welcome you to do that.
Yes.
That tithing was money. It was always agricultural.
Yes.
Only landowners tithed. Only products of the land were tithed.
Yes.
Only Levites could receive tithes. Tithing was a law of Moses.
Now, explain to the listeners who the Levites were.
The Levites were of the tribe of Levi. They were Levitical priests. They had no land inheritance. So they were supported by the tithes. And we have to remember that Israel was a theocracy then. So they trusted God. They trusted God. God gave them commands to give the tithe of the land to the Levites, and they served in the temple.
Yeah.
They served in the temple. And we have to remember that the law of Moses regarding tithing produce of the land, it was still in effect during Christ's ministry.
Yeah.
So if you're going to go to Matthew 23:23, which is one of the scriptures that speaks of tithing, you have to keep that in mind.
Right.
You know, that's under the old covenant. And even to support that, you know, and I like to give scripture for people to reference.
Yeah.
Hebrews 8:13, I'm sorry. And that will pretty much help them here, in that he says a new covenant, he has made the first obsolete. Christ did not come so that we, to make us relive the law, he came to fulfill it.
Yes.
And we have to keep that in mind.
Yes.
You know, and if there were 613 laws, if you stumbled in one, you stumbled in all. So if you're going to tithe when your children are disobedient, then they should be stoned. I know that sounds cruel, but that's what happened under the law. That's what they did. They took the kids, disobedient, unruly kids, out to the elders of the city, and they stoned them. Of course, I'm not suggesting anyone do that, but that's what I'm talking about as far as being part of the law.
Yes.
So if you're going to tithe, of course you're not going to do that. We love our children.
Right.
Christ came to liberate us from that.
Yes.
You know, if you're going to tithe, then bring all the sacrifices into your church.
Yes.
Blood. Put the blood all on their altars. Their $50 million altars.
Yes.
They're not going to allow you to do that.
That's
right. Know. So let's go over to Galatians because, you know, I really want people to be liberated from this and know that everything that we receive, everything, is the love, the grace, and the mercy of God.
Oh, amen.
It's not anything that we do.
That's right.
Nothing that we do. In Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. So when you go back to Malachi, where it says you're cursed with a curse, you have to understand where that's coming from. And you know, I believe just through studying, you can go to Nehemiah, I believe it's 10 or 13. I'm sorry, one second. I'll just paraphrase what it says. They agreed, actually, to enter into a curse if they didn't keep the whole of the law. So, first of all, God is speaking to the children of Israel, and we have to understand who is God speaking to at that time. He's not even speaking to us. When you go over to Malachi 3, because I know this is a biggie for everyone, because this is what they use all the time to support tithing. Just give me one second. So I'm going to make sure that I quote these things correctly. Okay, 1:6. A son honors his father, Malachi 1:6, and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence? Says the Lord of hosts to you priests who despise my name. Who is he speaking to? He's speaking to the priests. He is not speaking to us.
That's right.
So we have to remember, keep that in mind. Who is God speaking to? Again, Malachi 2:1. And now, O priests, this commandment is for you. It's not for us. There is no temple. Christ tore the veil. So who are you giving your tithes to? Pastors and leaders are not Levites. How would you know that? Can you trace your lineage back? You can't.
That's right.
Not even with Ancestry.com, you can't do it. You know.
Well, so, that's a great point. Yeah, that's
a
great point.
And we have to understand, this is who God is speaking to. He's not speaking to us. Christ came to redeem us from that. He knew that we couldn't keep it. If we could keep the law, Christ, what did Christ need to go to the cross
exactly.
for?
Exactly.
For what? You can't pay God for his blessings.
No.
Who, and if someone's listening, if you get a hundredfold on every dollar you give, please call.
Yeah.
I want to hear from you.
Boy, we
because
both
I'm
be
doing
rich.
Something wrong.
Yeah. Especially after that 26,000 or 23,000?
Yeah, $26,000.
Wow. What a return. What were
I
supposed
should
to
have
get, 26
what,
million?
2.6 million? If I got 100-fold.
Yeah.
We have to understand that. You know, we have to really be students of the Word of God. God is telling us to study to show ourselves approved for a reason, so that we're not deceived and under a spell of deception.
Oh, yes. It's a strong deception.
Yes,
it
is.
Very,
it is a very
strong
deception.
Deception.
Now I want to go to Deuteronomy, because coming out of a prosperity ministry, you're almost cursed if you're poor.
Oh, yes.
Or if you don't have this and you don't have that, you know, you're not blessed.
Yeah.
You know, if you're not driving a new vehicle and you don't have a house and you don't, God is concerned about the poor.
Yes.
God loves the poor. He said, "The poor you have with you, how long?
Always.
Always." God is concerned about the fatherless, the stranger, the widow. So if your church is collecting tithes, I'm going to tell you what they're supposed to be doing with it.
Yes.
Okay. We're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 12. Wait, is it 12 or 14? I want to be sure. No, I'm sorry, 14. We will start at verse 22. And you tell me if you hear anything about tithing money here. "You shall truly tithe all the increase of your grain that the field produces year by year. And you shall eat before the Lord your God in the place where he chooses to make his name abide, the tithe of your grain and your new wine and your oil, of the firstborn of your herds and your flocks, that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always." Now, if God wanted us to tithe, wouldn't he put it there? Tithe money. I think he would have been very specific in writing it and inspiring the writers to put it in there.
Well, the funny thing is you're quoting that scripture that the Lord's telling them to eat the tithe, but yet these prosperity teachers tell you not to eat your seed.
Yes,
and
seed was never money either. The seed is the word.
That's
the
right.
Word is what produces, not your money.
That's right.
And that's what we have to understand. These doctrines are not biblical. A lot of them are handed down.
Yes.
You know, from generation to generation. And we don't have enough time to really go into the history of tithing, how it even began in the church. Because the early church did not tithe.
Give us a brief history, because that is very interesting.
Well, tithing,
I don't think it's an old, I think it's a rather new.
I believe it started in the 1500s.
Oh, really?
Yes. Actually, tithing began in the Catholic Church.
Oh.
And we have to do our research, because if you read the book of Acts, Paul, who wrote 13 epistles, Don't you think the Holy Spirit would have inspired him to instruct us to tithe?
Yes.
You will not find it. You will see mention of tithe, but it will then again refer to the old covenant, not to us.
Yes.
They say, "Oh, Melchizedek." No. You can't take that and justify tithing. You cannot
could
do
you,
that.
Could you, Robin, just give us a brief explanation of who Melchizedek really was?
Melchizedek was a priest. He had no lineage, no mother or father. He was a type. He was like the Son of God. We have to remember that. You know, it's not an incarnate appearance, because it would have said he was. It says he was in Hebrews, I believe it's 7. He was like the Son of God. Abraham tithed to him 10% of the spoils.
Of the spoils.
But we have to remember, he was going in to rescue his nephew Lot. He kept nothing. He did not keep anything. He said, "Lest you say you made me rich."
Yes.
And we have to keep that in mind. when tithing. You know, I just encourage everyone, please go over these scriptures and ask God, ask the Holy Spirit, who's your teacher, to really reveal the truth to you about tithing and giving and what free will giving is, which is what is commanded in the New Testament. It's
yes.
not percentage. It's free will giving. Giving is always from the heart. When we give after hearing Malachi 3, you're giving out of compulsion and fear.
Yes,
because you think
fear.
That you're going to be cursed. But Christ came to redeem us from that. He already, that's already done.
Yes.
It's already done. So,
well, you know, even in the Old Testament, I noticed that when they were talking about money or silver and gold or jewelry, when they were giving it to build one of the temples, that it
yes.
was given willingly. It was,
yes.
If someone wants to do a Bible study, you can do free will and willingly.
Yes. Yes.
And you'll see that.
Yes. And the scripture we can give for that is in, you can read the whole chapter of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. That
yes.
speaks of free will giving. And that's what we are as believers commanded to do. We're supposed to give from the heart, not out of compulsion, not because someone is pressuring you because they need mortgage. You know, the early church, read the book of Acts. You will not see anything about these huge edifices, these buildings that they have now that are $50 million, and everyone's struggling that's a member of these congregations.
Yes.
No one can live in the building. If
no.
you're foreclosed on or evicted, you can't go stay there.
No.
And you can't. You probably won't even get any help.
No.
Which makes it even worse.
Yeah, that makes it even worse. But if we go back to the book of Malachi, and...
Yes. Okay, we're going to go back to Malachi. I want to finish this right here in Deuteronomy, because this
okay.
is what God commanded them to do with the tithe. Okay, it says, and you shall... One second, I'm sorry. 14... we'll start at 23. And you shall eat before the Lord your God in the place where he chooses to make his name abide, the tithe of your grain and your new wine and your oil of the firstborn of your herds and your flocks, that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. But if the journey is too long for you so that you are not able to carry the tithe, or if the place where the Lord your God chooses to put his name is too far from you when the Lord your God has blessed you, then you shall exchange it for money. Take the money in your hand and go to the place which the Lord your God chooses. Now, this is a key scripture here. Tell
yeah.
this to your pastor. And you shall spend that money for whatever your heart desires, for oxen or sheep, for wine or similar drink, for whatever your heart desires. You shall eat there before the Lord your God. He didn't say spend. Eat.
Yes.
And you shall rejoice, you and your household. Now, tell your pastor, show this scripture to your pastor.
Oh, no,
God
they don't
says,
like that one.
No. That's
no, they
not
don't
a
like
good
that one.
One. And when we go over to Deuteronomy 15, verse, let's start at 7, 15:7. If there is among you a poor man of your brethren within any of the gates in your land which the Lord your God has given you, you shall not harden your heart nor shut your hand from your poor brother, but you shall open your hand wide to him and willingly lend him sufficient for his need, whatever he needs. Now, go down to 10. You shall surely give to him, and your heart should not be grieved when you give to him, because for this thing the Lord your God will bless you in all your works and in all to which you put your hand. God wants us to give to the poor. He said he'll bless you. He didn't say he's going to bless you for a tithe. He's going to bless you when you give to the poor. And he says, for the poor will never cease from the land. Therefore I command you, saying, you shall open your hand wide to your poor brother. Now, every third year, the tithe was given to the fatherless, the widow, the stranger, and the poor. Yes. Which church do you know of that does that?
Oh, no, I don't. I'm very, very few. Very,
the
very
entire
few.
Year. I mean, the entire, it said at the end of the third year, that's who the tithe was given to.
Yeah, if like you're saying, for instance, Joel Osteen's church that he built, they spent $90 million renovating the sports arena so they could meet there a few times a week. And if you could think of, there's probably over $1 billion that's been collected in Texas alone.
Wow.
And what could that have done as far as, like you're saying, what God said to you, if you're going to have tithes, you're supposed to be feeding people and sheltering the homeless and taking care of the widow.
Yeah.
And we don't see that being done. It's very rare. The church lets the government do it when it's not really the government's job. It's the church's job.
Yes, and it is. And I always think to myself now, what would the church do if the government revoked their 501c3 status?
Yeah.
Because that's what they hide behind, that tax-exempt status, because then you would have no choice but to trust God if you wanted to remain open.
Well, I found that in my own life as a traveling Bible teacher and I thought I knew the word. Well, I knew some of it, but I had to really dig to find these scriptures, and I spent 3 months myself studying on giving, and I found out what the truth was. But
yeah,
I used to say I trusted God, but yet I didn't really trust God, because I would think to myself, well, okay, I'm in the ministry and I have needs, but how are people going to know I have needs unless I tell them?
Yeah.
And I used to think like that, but, I mean, I never pimped people for money. I never did that. I knew it was wrong. But now I am learning that I have to make my needs known to God.
Yeah.
And He knows what I need. And He's perfectly capable of meeting my needs. It's not always the way that I expect it to be.
Yeah.
But I've learned now about what it is to really trust God. And it's much better than all these going and having to give your 10% and being afraid, because you are afraid. You're thinking,
yeah,
even when I stopped tithing, I was still afraid for a long time that,
yeah,
wow, maybe this is why I'm not getting blessed.
Yes. Is this why this is happening? Maybe that's,
yeah,
why that's happening. You know, and it's all fear-based.
Yeah.
There's no scriptural support for what we're sensing. There really isn't.
Yes, because Jesus certainly came so we can have our freedom and we don't have to be in bondage to,
yeah,
all these rules and regulations that it's only to satisfy the lust of the religious leaders, for instance, like you were there at Fred Price's church with the 400 shirts and the Rolls Royces and the jets and everything else. And I don't know what kind of benevolence program they really had there.
Okay, we're not going to say that.
Yeah, probably wasn't much from my own experience of being with the so-called Word of Faith teachers, but
yeah.
Let's get on because this is a really good teaching.
Okay, let's get on to back to Malachi, and the scriptures that they use, because this is key for everyone to really understand from 3:8-12 and 8-11, because most believers, that's all they know about tithing. These are the only scriptures,
yeah,
that they know, and that, you know, they use to beat you over your head, basically.
Oh, yeah.
And it's, okay, we're going to start, will a man rob God, yet you have robbed me? But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings, you're cursed with a curse. We already showed, disproved that for the new covenant church, because in Galatians 3:13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. He did a complete and perfect work. For you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be money in my house. No, that's not what he said. That there may be food in my house.
Right.
Says the Lord of hosts. Now, we have to understand, what was the storehouse? Go to Nehemiah 13, verse 44. And at the same time, some were appointed over the rooms of the storehouse for the offerings, the first fruits, and the tithes to gather into them from the fields. He didn't say from your pockets. He said from the fields.
Yes.
Of the cities, the portion specified by the law for the priests and Levites, for Judah rejoiced over the priests and Levites who ministered. No mention here of money. From the fields. This was an agricultural society. Did they have money? Yes. But tithes weren't money.
That's right. I have a caller, so do you mind taking this call? Okay. Bring this caller on. For some reason, I'm having trouble with my switchboard. I'm trying to bring the caller on.
What?
Hello, caller.
Especially nothing wrong.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, caller.
How you doing there?
Good. Yes, do you have a comment or a question?
Yes, I do have a comment. I've been listening. You're taking some of the scriptures out of context, saying that you studied and tithing is wrong. I don't know how you came up with that. The word tithe in the Hebrew means literally a tenth. So to say that you're not supposed to give, Adam and Eve's sons gave, this idea that you're not supposed to give, tithing is a test of your faith. Where your faith is at starts a lot of times where your heart and your money is at. So to not give and to stand on something that is non-biblical as I'm not going to give because the Bible says it don't give. From chapter 1 to 3 in Malachi, he's talking to the priest. I'm sorry, up all the way up to 3. From 3 and down, he's talking about everybody. Sometimes I don't understand when people feel like they read the Bible. You feel like you read the Bible, and you come up with the idea that everybody else got it wrong. Now, I do believe that some people are in bondage as far as you have some priests or pastors who abuse the tithes that come in. But to sit there and say that you're not supposed to tithe at all, well, you always are supposed to give. That's
not what we're saying.
Yeah. Tithing and giving are two totally different things. We didn't say not to give. That's not what we said. Not to tithe. Tithe. Can you show, and this is just for you, can you show in the New Testament where tithing was commanded?
Where it was commanded?
Commanded.
Commanded.
Now, God commanded the New Testament church to tithe.
First of all, you said that Jesus redeems us from the law, right? That's what you said, right?
According to Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law.
Okay, and what was the curse of the law? To be bound for hell. That is the only redemption, that you're not going to go to hell for breaking the law. The idea that you're not going to tithe, the curse of the law was death. That's what it said in Genesis. For surely, either this you truly die. Because if you are redeemed from doing any of that, if that's the case, any wrongdoing that I do, I can be sentenced for. I mean, he's taking some of these scriptures straight out of context. You really have to stop. You think you study?
Well, we don't agree with you on that.
The
law. We're given scripture to support what we're saying. So, if you'd like, you can give scripture to support what you're saying, because the law, there were 613 laws.
If you didn't keep
all of them and you stumbled in one, according to the word here in Galatians 2, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ.
I agree with that.
And
in
what
other
was the purpose
in other words,
of the
Christ,
law?
Christ provided grace for those who have broken the law. They're not going to hell for breaking the law. Christ also said in the New Testament, I didn't come to abolish the law either. In other words, you're not going to go to hell for breaking the law, but you still have to listen to the law as far as wrongdoings and rightdoings. You don't
but you're not going to, it's for, what was the purpose? Okay, another scripture.
The purpose Galatians of the law is to show you that
3:20, you I'm sorry?
The purpose of the law itself is to show you that you are not perfect, to show you that you are in error. That is the purpose of the law. In other words, if you drive me down the street and there's no speed limit up there posted, then I don't know I broke the law. Okay? So when I post the law up there, then you know. That is the purpose of the law. The purpose of the law is not necessarily to convict you. It's to let you know that you are wrong.
Okay, and the law
do you
was
have
also
any scripture? Do you have one scripture that ever said tithing was money? Because I don't see it anywhere.
No.
The tithe is a tenth. Wait a minute. The tithe, wait a minute. You're looking at tithing is a tenth of your treasure, your time, and your talents. Now,
do
I don't
you have
time
scripture?
To go
we have
that?
Scripture for that?
Oh, my goodness. I don't have time to go through every little scripture because I'm on my way to work.
Well,
I've been online
just one,
for a long
just
time.
Give us one because we want to know where
that's okay.
Tithing
you've
was ever
got
money.
It, you know that.
You want one scripture that says what? Was it, I'm sorry.
That
what,
tithing
what
was
tithing
ever
was
anything
money.
But food, that it was money. Because I studied it for 3 months, and I never found
because
one scripture that said tithing was money.
When in Malachi 3, verse 8, right, when the guy says, will a man rob God, okay, does it not say that you have robbed me? It says, you have robbed me, but you say, in what way have we robbed you? It says, in tithes and offerings, right?
Yeah,
now,
but we were saying,
there,
if you had listened, what God was talking to the priest. He was not talking to the people.
No,
they
no,
were robbing
no.
the tithe.
Yeah.
No, that's
because
wrong.
They were
He's
the only ones.
You didn't
that
read
were
Malachi. You have
tithe.
To read the whole chapter.
Listen, I read the whole chapter.
You'll see it.
He's only talking to the priest up until chapter 3. After that, he sends his messenger in. One of these type of conversations cannot be answered real quick over the phone. When I first called, and I've been online for about 20 minutes. Waiting on you to answer the phone with the Bible in hand, but now I have to walk out the door. But don't act as listen. The devil does nothing but deceive people, and believe me, they deceive you in many ways. You feel as though you done read the Bible, so now you don't stand on that and say, you know what? All these people who've been tied in is wrong. That is nothing but the devil speaking.
But
we're
asking you to support your stance. That's all. Support
your
stance with scripture. Just support it with scripture because. Even
that's
if
it.
You, in Malachi, it says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my
that's
house.
That's right.
Food.
This is true.
What
this
was
is true.
The,
he
what
said,
was
I'll
the
open
windows
up the windows of heaven.
Windows
and
of heaven.
Rain. He's not
yes.
going to rain money out of heaven. There is no
yes.
money in heaven.
That's what the windows of heaven
you,
were.
Listen,
the devourer
really
was focused.
If you really want to get technical, can you exchange food? Money is nothing but a means of exchange. Can I exchange my food for something else?
Yeah, but why do you
it,
think you have
standard.
To exchange it with God? Why do you
mm-hmm.
think you have to pay God off? You don't. What we're
you don't,
saying is,
you don't. You
we're
don't
not under
God
the.
Off.
We're not under the law. We do free will giving because
yes.
we love people.
According
we do
to
it
2 Corinthians
from our heart,
9.
Not because we're afraid of God. We don't
it
have.
Has
you're
to do
you're
with
a
fear.
Father. If you're a father, you know that your child doesn't have to pay you off for you to bless him. And
how
much more is
God
like
I mean,
that?
God has given you everything.
Exactly. You
yeah.
just said that yourself. God has given us everything. He's
and
given it to us out of his love,
tenth.
His grace, and his mercy,
that's
not
right.
through a means of financial exchange. Paul,
okay.
the apostle, did he ever command, inspired by the Holy Spirit, wrote 13 books of the Bible. Why didn't he ever command the Gentiles to tithe?
Why did he not command the Gentiles to tithe? Goodness.
Nowhere.
Listen,
nowhere did he command the new, as he ministered to them, he never instructed them to tithe.
Never.
The Apostle Paul. Now, again,
freely
brother,
you have
if,
received,
why did
Cain
give us
kill
a
Abel?
To support it.
Ask you a question. Why did Cain kill Abel? Why did Cain kill Abel?
That has nothing to do with tithing.
Wait a minute.
But that has we're on the topic of tithing.
Listen,
that has nothing
to
do
about
with
giving.
Tithing.
You're 6'1". I shouldn't have to give.
We
I
never
not
said
have to
that.
Give my money.
We didn't
why
say
would,
not to give.
We never
that's
said
not what
that.
We said.
You're putting words
Lord,
in our mouth.
Can
we
ask
never
a question?
Said that. We said
can I ask you a question?
Give out of a heart of love
the
because
to
you
make
love
money.
People. You know what? If you're only giving to get something back, that's selfishness. That's not God's love.
I said, did the Lord bless you with the ability to obtain money?
Yeah,
no,
and that's why I want to help
that's
somebody.
Not,
I do
we're
it
talking
because
about
I love
tithing.
Them, not because I want something
okay.
back.
And if you,
that's
but
not
if
even
you,
Christianity.
If you, I'm sorry, one second. If you want to talk about God and blessing us with money and tithing, how it's connected, then we're just asking you to give us a scripture that supports that.
Okay.
That shows that tithing
Deuteronomy,
ever
Deuteronomy,
money.
Deuteronomy 14, verses 28 and 29. Those tithes were to give back to the widows, the priests, the
Does
Levites,
your church do that?
And the orphans.
Does your church do that?
Say again?
Does your church do that with the tithe?
Does our church do what?
Give to the fatherless, the poor, and the stranger.
We give to anybody that is in our church and who are we able to give to. We give to the homeless. We give to those who are in the church who are in financial need. We give to those who are going away to college with scholarships.
Now,
well,
every third year, you're supposed to give
the
entirety.
Wait a minute. But I'm giving you a verse out of the Bible, which you asked for, what the tithe
okay.
is for.
Okay, Deuteronomy 14. Okay, let's go there. It says
Deuteronomy 14, verses 28 and 29. All right?
Okay.
Let me turn there with you, because I just explained to you what the tithe is for. I don't know how you're gonna do these things without it being money orientated, first of all.
Because
God's not speaking
to us.
They
stored the food. It wasn't a place where they stored money.
How can you give food with no money? How can you give food with no money? Everybody doesn't have a farm in the backyard.
But this is what they were doing then.
That's what they were doing then.
This is what they
were doing. I mean, if you notice in the Old Testament, too, if you study do a word study on the words willingly and free will, you'll see that when they gave silver and gold for the temple, and money, that it was given willingly, of a willing heart. Even
I
back
agree.
Then,
you
God looked
should,
at
the
heart. The
Lord is a cheerful giver. Don't get me wrong. The Bible says that.
Right. Doesn't it say that? Not somebody that, we're so afraid that God's going to curse
that.
Us if we don't give him 10%. I mean, that's
no.
not even the way God is. That's
no,
not
no.
even the way a loving
not,
Heavenly Father would be.
I'm not going to get caught up in the curses. I'm only going to get caught up in you thinking you're not supposed to give.
The curse,
you can't get caught up
in the
curse if you accept Christ, because he did a complete redemptive work. So how can you refute what's written? And we're going to read what you said in Deuteronomy 14. At the end of every third year,
you shall
bring out.
But why are you so angry about it?
Because
why are you so angry about it?
Listen, I'm telling you, because you're saying you're not supposed to.
Are you a pastor? Yeah, are
you
a pastor?
I'm not even here to talk about titles.
Oh, okay.
We're not going to get caught up in titles.
You don't have to get so angry about it. The truth is the truth, and it's there.
This is not anger. This is passion. There's a difference.
Well, it sounds like anger.
And if I was angry, as long as it was righteous anger, that's okay also, because that's biblical. But it's not anger. This
yeah,
is
but
passion.
What's wrong? If you are a pastor, what's wrong with letting your people obey God for themselves? Why do you have to tell them what to do as far as their giving?
They're not robots.
Well, they are. If they can't think for
themselves. Say again?
Why don't you ask them to give from their heart like the Bible teaches?
How do you know that they don't give from their heart?
Well,
because
they're
instructing them to give
10%.
How is that from the heart?
You're under the impression that everyone in a church does not understand.
You can't
the Bible,
say what type of impression we're under. We're teaching. We're given a scriptural teaching, and we're asking you to support your stance.
Wait a minute. You're not teaching. You are misleading. There's a difference.
I don't know. I don't think we misled anybody because we were reading scriptures. So I don't think if we were misleading, we wouldn't have our Bibles open quoting scripture.
Let's not forget that Satan quoted scripture to Jesus, and he quoted it out of context. Just because you read the Bible don't mean you can't be wrong. It wasn't the first time somebody read the Bible and was wrong.
Well, if I'm wrong, then I can be corrected, just like you can.
Okay.
I don't have
That's
to get angry about
you
it.
For...
I'm trying to correct you. But
we're
you
asking
are,
you for a scripture that says
yeah, we're
the tithe was money.
I said Deuteronomy 14, verses 28 and 29. And I
says, now if you're a pastor, now that you've quoted this, this is what you're going to hold to, right? At the end of every third year, you shall bring out the tithe, since they give you money as a tithe, of your produce, not money, of that year, and store it up within your gates. And the Levite, because he has no portion nor inheritance with you, and the stranger, and the fatherless, and the widow who are within your gates, may come and eat. You don't eat money. And be satisfied. That your Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hand which you do. Now, if you want the tithe to be money, every third year in your church, you need to set the whole year's tithes, 100,000, 200,000, a million, and give it out.
To the stranger,
the fatherless, and the widow.
Now I'm just going to make a statement. This is what people normally do when they take scripture, right?
We're not making it say anything. And here it says, "You shall exchange the tithe for money."
Exchange it for money. The tithe,
and then take
and
the money
spend it on
and
whatever
when,
your soul
yes.
lusts after. Did you tell your people to do that?
I don't even know how to respond to that.
All we're asking you to do is to go and read and ask God to reveal it to you.
It was a lively discussion. Anyway, we thank you.
We
thank you very much.
Have a great afternoon, brother.
You do the same.
Yeah, you be
blessed.
God bless
you.
God bless you. Anyway.
Oh, my goodness. Oh,
I mean, I understand because I was there.
Yes.
I remember way back probably in the 1980s when there was a group of people that came to our church and they didn't believe in tithing. And I felt so sorry for them because I said, oh, those poor, you know, they were telling people to give in faith.
I think you still have him on. Can you disconnect
that? I'm trying to mute him. Okay, I got him off.
Okay.
All right, but anyway, I felt the same way. I was passionate about tithing and seed sowing, but I didn't really read the scriptures.
But you know what we were passionate about? We were passionate about our leader.
Yeah.
And that's
exactly
where our passion came in. It's like if someone told you, oh, Fred Price is this or that, don't talk about Fred Price. You know, he's teaching the truth. So what we have to understand is at that time, that's who our God was because we listened to them and we didn't search the scriptures.
That's true.
We did
That's
not
very
search
true.
The scriptures. And pastors are going that teach this, they're going to always refute us on this because you're messing with their mortgage money, you're messing with their livelihood.
Right.
But it's not what they're doing is not scriptural. You don't have a right to a mansion because you teach the word of God.
That's right.
You don't. You don't have a right for someone to massage your feet. I've seen it. Because you're a man of God.
That's
Jesus
right.
was a servant.
That's what he was.
He girded his waist with a towel and he washed the feet of the disciples. He was a servant. And we're supposed to have the heart of a servant also. Not just leaders, everyone who proclaims the name of Christ. We should be servants, serving the people and not what can I get from you?
That's
what
right.
can I extort from you? Because
That's
I
right.
want to be like T.D. Jakes. I want to live like that. You know, no, we need to conform to Christ. He is the example setter, not your pastor, not your apostle, not your bishop. Christ
That's right.
and the word of God is the truth.
That's right.
And what we read is truth.
That's what we read. We read
That's
the truth.
That's the truth.
And I would any, if anybody wants to challenge it, if
yeah.
anybody has a scripture that can prove that tithing was ever money, then please send it to me.
Yeah.
And
I would love
I'll
to
repent,
see it.
But I haven't found it.
No, and I don't think, now I'm not going to say I don't think, I know they're not going to find it because it's not in there. It was never, it was land on, Jesus didn't tithe, Sister Susan. He didn't tithe. He was a carpenter. He didn't
well,
tithe.
Well, he also I think it might be Matthew, where he was rebuking the Pharisees because
Matthew
he said you tithe. Yeah, mint and rue. And he was telling him, in other words, you're tithing food. He didn't say you were tithing money. He
said,
yes. You tithe mint and rue. Don't you think Jesus would have said you're tithing your silver and your gold? He didn't say that.
He did not.
And he said, you're full of extortion and excess.
Yes.
And that's what we're seeing, extortion and excess. And
he said, neglect the weightier matters, the love, the mercy, and the grace.
Right, the love.
That's not what we're giving out.
The love went out the window because it was like when the light bulbs were going off for me and I'm sitting in a church and the preacher is telling people to come up with a seed faith offering to get their healing. And this crippled woman is coming up limping to the altar with a check, holding a check up in the air.
Mm.
And I'm thinking to myself, this isn't right. This is wrong. I hate this. And I started to hate that evil where people were actually believing that they could buy something from God.
Yeah.
And I got passionate about it too. But
You can't buy anything from God. Your money, and this is a saying in the church and Word of Faith Circle, your money moves God. No, your money does not move God.
No.
Your love moves him.
Yeah.
Your heart for people, being a servant, that's what moves God. When we walk in love, when
that's
we speak
right.
the truth in love, and all that we do is done with love, then you move God.
That's
when
right.
you give to the poor, you're not cursed because you're poor. God is concerned about the poor. He never said, cursed is the poor. He didn't say that. He said, give to them.
Well, even in Proverbs, the Word of God says that when you lend to the poor, you give to the Lord. And that's the only time he says it.
Yeah,
and
in Deuteronomy, it says you're blessed. He will bless the work of your hand in Deuteronomy 14 when you give to the poor. And poor, it doesn't mean, you know, just the homeless person. We know a lot of people who struggle. We were told in our ministry we shouldn't even give to our families who don't believe God, who don't know God. Don't give to them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I even heard them tell people not to pay their rent, to go and give their tithe first. And I saw people struggling, and it was really awful. But there's a whole, like, caste system in the church.
Yeah.
And we put these people down and look down on them because they're struggling financially, when in reality almost everybody was struggling financially, whether they were putting on the show or not, including the church with the big mortgage.
Yeah.
So as much as they want to say we're blessed and look how blessed we are because we tithe, most ministries have debts that they can't pay, so they have to keep thinking of ways to scheme to get you to give them money so they can support their vision, and it's always their vision that you have to support.
And it's not God's vision, and we have to – a question that I had asked myself, you know, and I asked the pastor – that was overseeing that ministry at the time. I said, show me five people who have what Fred Price has. Five in the ministry. And then I even went down to one who came in with nothing.
Yes.
God is no respecter of persons. He is not. You know, there's no scripture to support what they're doing. It's all deception. That's what
it's
it is.
Deception.
It
because I
deception.
Said the same thing. The only people that were getting rich were the prosperity teachers.
Yes.
The rest of the people were just trying to eke out a living the best they knew how. And I saw, for the most part, the people sitting in the congregation wanted to do something for God. I certainly did. I loved God with all my heart. I wanted to please him. I wanted to do something for him. And my heart was in the right place, which I know most people sitting in churches, their heart's in the right place, but they just have the wrong teaching. And I know that when you teach on a subject like tithing, because it's such a, as they say, sacred cow in the church, it makes people angry. They get very angry.
They do.
I've had some of my very good friends get very angry at me when I said anything about the tithing. And I don't argue with them. I just tell them, okay, read. If you're going to take the time, then take the time like I did for 3 months. Look up every single word on giving, on seed, on money, on offerings, and you'll find out what the truth says. So that's the Bible challenge today, is to get your Bible out and do the study and find out what the Word of God really says.
And even for Paul, I just want to add this before we go off the air. Paul had a job.
Yeah.
Paul said, these hands have provided for my necessities.
Yes.
He didn't sit back and say, take care of me.
That's
he didn't
right.
do that. You know, and I think for pastors, 1 Thessalonians chapters 2 and 3, that's what your pastor should line up with.
That's right.
Go and read that and see if this is your pastor there. Paul never coerced anyone to give him money. And he was an apostle. We see apostles, modern-day apostles, they don't struggle. They don't have, you know, they're not struggling financially. Everything is, I'm the king. That wasn't Paul's mindset.
No, that's not supposed
they was, they
to be
struggled.
That.
Paul was beaten and left for dead.
Yes. How about that?
You can't even get to these apostles because they have these titles and they think, serve me, I'm the king. And what that's really saying is, serve me, I'm your God.
Yes, that's what it's saying. It is idolatry.
It is.
It is
and we
idolatry.
Have to really ask ourselves and do introspection, who is my allegiance really to? Is it to God or man?
That's right.
Why am I doing this?
That's right. And really, it's wonderful when you get free from all that, from all the bondage, and all the do this, and or if you don't do it this way, it's, you know, if you make a bad confession and you say the words, if you say the words out of your mouth, and it was such bondage.
It was.
After I got out of all that, I said,
you're
going to
die.
You know?
If you think about it, and, you know, and we have to really pray for them, you know, pray for eyes to be open. And sadly, Susan, a lot of people don't want the truth.
No.
They don't want to hear it. They want to listen to their pastor. And I empathize with them because I was there.
Yes.
But when God starts revealing truth to you, you better take it and run.
That's right. Even if you have to run out the door.
Yes.
Look,
that's the best place to run to.
Even if you have to lose every friend you have, you know, so what?
Yes. Yes.
You know, so what? Is it that important to have a ministry if you can't tell the truth?
Yes.
It's not that important. It's more important to be able to tell people the truth, to love people, not to just... When I was in full-time ministry traveling and doing my thing in the Word of Faith movement, you know, I felt like I was entitled. You feel a sense of entitlement.
Yes.
Well, yeah, I'm entitled to have these, for people to bless me and to give to me. But they do have a sense of entitlement because we felt like we have an anointing. So... And I realized,
and we all have an anointing.
Yes.
1 John 2:27. We're all anointed.
That's right.
When we all stand before God, you're not going to get a special place because you've been a pastor. As a matter of fact, if you're a teacher, you're judged with an even stricter judgment.
Yes, you're even judged stronger. So, I God had to smack me down, and He smacked me down for a long time. And I realized that, you know, there was so much pride involved in public ministry and having a ministry and going around and having a pulpit ministry in churches, which there's nothing wrong with that. But I had to really take myself out of it, which I did for many years. I just took myself out of it. And I said, if I'm ever going to have – I don't even care anymore about anybody – seeing me or hearing me, and I got to that place where it didn't matter. If I just had to stay home and do nothing, that was okay with me. But I was going to do it right. I made up my mind that I was going to do it right or don't do it at all. And it's a good word for some of the people out there. If you're involved in any kind of public ministry, if you can't do it right and for the right motives, then you don't belong there.
Yes.
And
a pastor, does not give you entitlement. A bishop, an apostle, it doesn't give you entitlement. It really doesn't. And a lot of people now are seeking that because they want the fame, they want the glamour and the glitz. And that's not even the mind of Christ. It really isn't. Paul had a job. Paul had a job.
The same temptation that was in the garden. It's the pride.
Yes.
Why was Satan kicked out of heaven? Because of pride.
Yeah.
And so that's the big temptation with wanting to be recognized. And like you said, for the fame and the fortune, those are the wrong motives anyway.
Yes. And see, what happens a lot, Susan, a lot of leaders come from the street and they take that game right into the church.
Yes.
They take the same game. There's residue. They've never been set free from that gaming mindset, and that's what they bring into the church.
Yes.
And then they sit back and they want to be taken care of. And Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Paul worked night and day and preach the gospel. How do I know? Acts 18:3 and Acts 20:33-35. Read it for yourself, listeners.
Yeah.
Paul worked. He had a job and he preached.
Yeah.
He didn't sit back and he had a robe and he wanted you to carry his Bible and give him water. That was not Paul.
I know. I mean, it's like I thought it would make an interesting documentary to make sometime.
Yes.
Of actually what goes on.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
I'm going to write a book. I didn't start yet.
Yeah, well, you know, when the time is right, you will, because it's something that people really have to see. They have to see, look what you're doing. This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's so ridiculous. And when I think back at some of the things that I did when I was involved in the Word of Faith movement and all the screaming at the devil and all the bondage that I was in, and I was so glad to finally be delivered from it and to be able to have a voice, and thank God that the Lord has given us this opportunity to be here and to be able to try to help people. Because, we've been there. We know where you're at.
Yes.
And we know how much better it is to be free from all that bondage and to do things
purely
for the love of God, for his love, for what he did for us and how he saved us and redeemed us. And, you know, how could we ever pay God back? I mean, we could never pay God back.
You can't. And you can't pay him for your blessings either.
No.
And
never.
You can't work for it?
No.
Because how much work is enough?
That's it. That's what I was forever doing is, okay, how much... Oh, well, maybe if I give this $1,000, this will break the back of poverty, and this will give me my year of jubilee or whatever con game they were running, you know, flavor of the week. And it was just awful, and it's just awful. If you can really see people, if you can really see what has happened to your mind and what has happened to the so-called church of the Lord Jesus Christ, which it doesn't resemble his church at all in most cases. But
yes, it
anyway,
really doesn't. And
really
we're
going
to pray and we're going to believe God that eyes will be opened and that they will hear what the Spirit is saying and not what a man is saying.
That's right.
Because that's the biggest problem now. You know, we've exalted these men and put them on a pedestal and they become God. So you don't want to refute or question them, even if you see scriptural support for it. That is not God. It's not.
No.
Again,
well,
who is your allegiance to?
We've told the people that our testimony is we were there, and we were involved in these things ourselves. So if God could redeem us from that and deliver us from these false teachings, then he certainly can redeem some of the listeners and some of the people that will take the time to do the research. But I want to thank you, Robin. Thank you so much.
Praise God.
This was a tremendous blessing for you to be with me today. And I really, really enjoyed this program because it's wonderful to be able to, you know, bounce off each other when people are like-minded.
Yes.
And know that the veil has truly been lifted.
Amen. Praise God.
And so I want to thank you so much. You're a wonderful blessing. And do you have a website or any way where people could reach you?
Actually, it's Buttons and Me, ButtonsNme at gmail.com.
Okay, so if you have any questions about tithing and if you'd like to reach our dear sister soldier, Robin, and she can answer some of your questions. I know she said she's going to be working on a book, and that would be wonderful because I think, you know, books are important to me. I think it's wonderful when someone takes the time to write a book and to get that information out to people so that they can have it in black and white and refer back to it. But thank you again, and we're going to do it again.
Oh, you're so welcome. It's wonderful.
We didn't even really even... We touched the subject a little bit, but there's more.
There's so much
more.
You know, we'll continue when you have time for another show on the topic, because I think that this is really crucial at this time, because so many people are deceived by the tithing doctrine and they don't know the truth.
No.
You know, I will answer any question that anyone sends. Just I do not answer emails with profanity. I don't.
Right.
So be respectful just as we are respectful to you.
Yes. I want to thank everybody for listening today. And Sister Soldier, close us out with a word of prayer, please.
Yes. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before your throne of grace, Lord God, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to speak your truth and spread your truth, the word of God, the living word, Father. And we ask you, Lord, to let this word just penetrate the hearts and the minds of the listeners. Let it be the truth in them, because you have commanded us to be lovers of the truth. And I pray that you will speak to them, that you will guide them, help them to even remember and recall, if they didn't write it down, the scriptures that we have spoken about. And just give them the truth, the interpretation of what it is. And to just let them know that you are not looking for us to buy blessings from you. You've already done a complete work. You've given us all that we need for life and health.
Yeah.
And we're thanking you for it.
Yes,
we thank you right
Lord.
Now, Father God. You've given us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. You've given us your Son. And we thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
and
Lord.
I pray that they will come to understand and realize that everything and anything that they receive is because of your love, your grace, and your mercy, and nothing that they do, Father God. There's nothing that we can do to attain righteousness. It's already done.
Yes.
Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Well, thank you, my dear sister.
Yes,
and
you're
so
welcome.
And you be blessed.
You too.
Okay, bye-bye. I want to thank you all for tuning in today to this program, and I hope you learned something. I know I did. I'm always blessed when I have a great guest. So we want to let you know that Jesus Christ does love you very, very much. He came to earth. Most people know that Jesus came to earth, and he died on a cross. He wasn't just a prophet. He was the Holy Son of God who came down from heaven and gave his life for you so you could have freedom. You can know this Jesus Christ, and you can know this love and this peace and this grace and mercy that we're talking about today. Ask Jesus to come into your life today. Ask him to prove that he's real. He will do that for you. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and we all need to repent. And ask God to forgive us of our sins. And he will give you a new life. I guarantee you he will. A life of joy and peace. I'm not saying you won't have any struggles. You will. But you'll have someone to help you get through them. you'll have a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Ask Jesus to come into your life today. And please tune in again to our next program on Saturday. It will be at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio Prophetic News. And next Monday on the Prophecy Zone Radio Network at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard. God bless you all, and thank you for tuning in.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. And someday I'll be in heaven, there'll be no sorrow there.